Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. This is the broadcast for September the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. After all, it is the supreme law of the land, you know. And we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. We have an excellent guest for you today. Her name is Lindsay Nurl. And she's a mother of six who has been homeschooling since 2004. Her interest in small business and entrepreneurship led to a freelance writing career that complements her own homeschooling style. Anyway, she created a book as well. We'll talk about that. Her website and book, homeschoolhacksbook.com. Lindsay, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Thank you for having me.
All right, just a little update so you know who you're talking to. My name is Sam Bushman. I've got eight children. My wife and I, Julie, homeschooled them for a long time. We now have them in private school. When they get to high school age, you put them in private school, et cetera, because then they can go ahead and transition to college a lot easier and stuff like that. But we've literally homeschooled for years, and we love the concept. I don't think there's any better schooling than a homeschool on the planet. So we're 1,000% supporters. But when I heard about homeschool hacks, I'm like, man, this is something I want to talk about.
Great. Yeah. Let's talk about it.
So how did you decide to homeschool and get into it in the first place? You've been doing it for what, 16 years now or more?
Yeah. So from the very beginning, my daughter, my eldest, just actually graduated college from a small liberal arts university, directly got a job as a copywriter right out of college, very well prepared. And we started from the beginning with her just because we felt uneasy about some of the options out there. We were moving. We were business owners with kind of non-traditional schedules. And we thought, let's just try this. And we kept trying it. It kept working. If it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
Well, the founding fathers, when they put together the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, you know, some of them were pretty hesitant, but they felt like it was the best chance for the proper role of limited government ever, so they went for it. It was a grand old experiment, proved successful, and it looks like homeschooling for you guys is the same, right?
Yes, definitely.
Now tell me this, was your husband as on board as you are?
Oh yeah, actually we both had gone to college. I did not finish. He has 2 degrees, and he was really close to getting a teacher's degree, and he felt like there were a few things that didn't gel with the way he thought education should be. He ended up working with adults with developmental disabilities instead, which was more fulfilling for him. But we had some concerns. We couldn't see ourselves necessarily putting our kids in a system that seemed a little bit too rigid for what we were already seeing were some of the needs of our children.
All right. Now, you're a working mother of six because you got a business. You're a writer, et cetera. Where are you in the journey? So your oldest daughter is graduated and already working. How young are your youngest?
My baby is 8, and we have 11, 14, 16, and 18, all boys at home right now.
Wow, so you've still got 4 or 5 that are right in the thick of it.
Yes.
All right, tell me how you learned and developed your curriculum. Was it a lot of trial and error? Did you look to people who already had curriculums in place? How did it unfold for you guys?
It was a lot of trial and error. It is still trial and error, I would say, per child. You know, we have some basics that we really like for things like civics and history. And, well, you know, we're a family of faith, so we like to incorporate that into our daily learning as well. But, you know, as far as things like science or art or music, sports, all those things are, you know, customized to the kid. And we try a few new things every year and see if we like it. If we don't, it goes. We don't spend too much time or money on it. And we found it really works that way. Have a few staples that we stick with every year and then kind of try to mix it up.
I find that interesting. Not only does it need to be customized to the child, but it needs to be customized to the circumstances of the parents, too. We tried to put five kids in soccer one time. I'm a totally blind person, so my wife is the only one that can drive. So she'd drop me off at a game. I'd be watching with one kid a game or whatever, and then she'd be at another game, and then she'd come back and pick me up. And we swore we'd never do that again. So
we're there right now with speech and debate. My eldest is a very big debater, really into it. We brought the younger kids up into the speech aspect, and that's kind of our you know, tournaments and all the competitions. I didn't realize it was so involved, but yeah, that we're with you there.
Anyway, I only bring that up because every parent, when you homeschool, gets overwhelmed sometimes. Remember that the overwhelming part are temporary. The rewards are lasting forever. And I think that's kind of the takeaway for homeschoolers, that when they try the grand old experiment of homeschooling, they realize that, you know what, the rewards are so rich. And I think that's what kept you guys going, right?
Yeah, and you know, you kind of look for that validation and you don't always get it. And homeschooling is one of those things, kind of like running your own business or staying in your marriage, right, where you feel pressures from the outside world to maybe do things that aren't on course with what you know are right. It's just another one of those parts of life that you say, no, this is what we've decided to do. This is what's best. And you have to just kind of look ahead and run the marathon, you know.
All right, so catch me up then. You're homeschooling. You're overwhelmed and busy with six children. But then you decide, hey, you know what? I've got an interest in small business that continues. My interest in entrepreneurship continues. How did that lead to a freelance career?
You know, well, it started actually, you know, with the 2008, those fun financial times. And my husband lost his job, and I was kind of dabbling in writing magazines, some light hobby writing, I guess. And we just kind of pushed the pedal down and thought, what can we do for small businesses, for their copywriting, for their marketing? I was learning a lot at home with little babies, and I just, it clicked. So we just decided to build the business as we built the family, and each new challenge we came kind of came at the right time. And it's just like the kids, we didn't get them all at once. So the business grew little by little, as well as the children. And it just seemed like it meshed really well for the way we like to live.
All right, so help me understand. You got the business and you got the book. They're kind of two different enterprises in a way, aren't they?
Yeah. The book was actually something that I started writing 8 years ago, but there was no interest in working families who wanted to homeschool. It wasn't really a common theme, especially for the mom to be participating in a business. So now, I think with the pandemic, people are a little more
open. In other words,
you're
saying traditionally what happens is dad goes to work, mom stays home and homeschools, and that's all been upset, is what you're saying.
My husband and I, we do this together. So we would travel together. We'd take the babies with us together. I mean, this was just a joint endeavor. So because of the pandemic, we saw more families in our similar situation, and they were thinking, how is this even done? And I was getting so many questions. So we decided it was the right time to try again with an updated version of what I tried to do 8 years ago, and it's seen good response.
Now, when you say an updated version, though, so the book is released. The book is available now, homeschoolhacksbook.com. It's available now, right?
Yes, it is. It's been available since June, or May, I'm sorry. So, yeah, you can get it anywhere that you buy books in person or online.
And when we say homeschool hacks, let's be very clear. It's a professional book, ladies and gentlemen, with real solutions. The term homeschool hacks kind of comes from other ways of learning that really is important, right? It's ways to do things that are effective, shortcuts and solutions and tried and true things that work and quickly get you where you want to go. This play on words has real value in the workforce in many entrepreneurial realms that maybe if you're not an entrepreneur, you don't quite get, right?
Yeah, it's kind of following that whole disruption kind of concept that I'm sure we won't use those words in 20 years, but for now, they're the words.
Well, or we might have a gazillion more disruptions, and it'll become so ubiquitous that even the non-entrepreneurial understands it, right?
Sure, yeah.
That's what we hope anyway. But these hacks, though, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to get this idea that it's anything illegal or these ideas that it's something that's not really time-tested and true. We're really talking about homeschool solutions, homeschool answers that you've been looking for all in one book. Did your husband help write it?
My husband didn't help write it, but I would say I learned so much from him over the years. Every idea I have, it's been something, you know, I'll give you an example. He read to the children for every night that we've been married with kids. He would call home from business trips and read to the children. Some of the best books they'll ever experience were read to by their father, and that developed this love of literature that I can't even imagine coming about in the typical throw a book down on a desk and tell the kid to read silently for an hour. That's just an example of something that we found worked really well for us. But definitely, you know, my husband had some great ideas. I helped bring them together. I had my own ideas. He helped execute them. Just been a very good partnership.
Yeah, that's why the Lord put male and female together, ladies and gentlemen, as husband and wife, because that's what it's all about. We are talking to Lindsay Nurl. Her husband's name is Sam, and they've got a business together as entrepreneurs. All right, they've been homeschooling since 2004. Now they have a business based on entrepreneurship, a small business that has launched her writing career and copywriting, etc. They're working together. They've got a book out called homeschoolhacksbook.com. She's a working mother of six, ladies and gentlemen, and that's kind of the new mantra that people are kind of realizing that, you know what, with the pandemic, with all the changes in society, believe it or not, some small businesses have melted down, but more and more small businesses are coming online every day. And not to make this too political, but the vaccine debate's only going to make it more so, where people are going to leave their careers and say, I'm going to go out on my own and start a small business. All right, we're talking about Lindsay has been a trusted source for families since 2008. As she's been working on her books and her entrepreneurial business. We'll talk more with Lindsay in seconds right here on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our guest, Lindsay Nurl. She's a mother of six. Her husband, Sam, and Lindsay have put together an incredible entrepreneurial business. She's written a book as well called homeschoolhacksbook.com. A working mother of six. Wow, she's got her hands full to say the least. She's been a trusted source for families since 2008. Now, this is interesting. Her book, Homeschool Hacks Book, or Homeschool Hacks, was published by Simon and Schuster, ladies and gentlemen, provide supports for parents that want to home educate. Provide support for parents, along with her advice, is incredible. She's a faith-filled mom, ladies and gentlemen, but she keeps her books faith-neutral. just because, hey, there's a lot of people that may not believe exactly as she does. She still wants to help those folks as well. But her tips can be personalized to your family's needs, ladies and gentlemen. How did you get Simon & Schuster, of all people, to publish for you, Lindsay?
I got an agent. I did it the traditional way, and actually they, you know, they realized, hey, we need to get a book out, and you've been doing this, and I couldn't have been, you know, had a better experience. They were very respectful, changed nothing of my content, just made it better. The experience I had, I can't complain about it. It was exactly what I wanted.
When you say made it better, you mean providing editorial support in terms of making things more clear and streamlined and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, like, this is a term only a homeschooler would know. Can you tell us what this is? Because it was being edited by people who didn't homeschool. So actually was a really good partnership there.
Well, hopefully some of them will decide to homeschool after reading the book, right?
You would think, yeah.
All right. So tell me then some of the hacks. Give me an idea of the book. Is it a book that I read cover to cover? Is it a book that I use as reference material? Both? Tell me about it.
Yeah. So, it's made not to be a bunch of gobbledygook that you have to, like, sit down and take notes. A lot of people read through it in a weekend, real easy peasy, and then kind of go back and say, okay, this kind of spoke to me. But there are sections, each chapter is kind of pointed at a different personality or lifestyle. We have a military section. We have a section in there for people who are just temporarily homeschooling with no desire to do it full time. Now, maybe we can convince them after they've done it for a while that it is good for a few years, but it's kind of put together in sections. So if you do need to flip to a page or even the frequently asked questions in the back, you know, we've tried to make it not a time suck for people who are already very busy.
All right, give me an idea of some hacks. Just give me an idea of a couple of things that kind of might change people's perspectives or vision about homeschooling. You know, a lot of times families who have their kids in regular school or whatever you want to say, you know, they envision these homeschool kids that aren't very social, that are kind of goofy and backwards, and a mom that's like super collegiate educated, a dad that's a mathematician, a mom that's a literary scholar, and you know, those are the only people, right? But give me some hacks that kind of put it on the kitchen table for people to go, well, that might be me too.
Well, you know, we interviewed a lot of families to kind of get a good balance as well as just my ideas. You know, where you do school, is it a kitchen table situation? Is it an RV? You know, are you getting your kid an actual desk? We talk about the difference between books on e-format versus text, how some situations are really more appropriate for reading a physical book, for example, preparing for a test, versus some of the times an ebook is going to be just as appropriate. So we linked to some studies and some different things to kind of help you answer those questions, like, am I robbing my kid if they don't have a big dusty tome of all the classics? Can we still get away with, like, a Kindle? And then we talked about things like if children have learning disabilities and they're not really finding a pencil easy to use, sometimes pen has been shown to be a very great way for kids to learn to write, even do their math in pen, which is something I believe we were all taught not to do growing up. So there's a few things like that in there, as well as sample schedules. So if you think you need to teach for 8 hours a day, we're not replicating public school. 1 to 1.5 hours of formal school for very little children. High schoolers should be able to get all their academics done within 4, and then leave time for other things like art, music, sports, friends.
All right, let's be very clear, ladies and gentlemen. You believe the government school does 8 hours of education, but when you break down all their transitions between classes, when you break down all their recesses, when you break down all their lunch periods and everything else, they're not getting more than that in either. That's the reality check, Lindsay.
Oh, yes. I was there. I remember.
And not only that, they take off all summers. My kids graduate from the private school in 3 years, not 4, because we don't waste our summers. So I've got 6 kids that have already graduated in 3 years, every one of them from high school, as we transition them to private school. You know, everybody homeschools. If you don't homeschool, you don't teach your children to go to the bathroom properly. So potty training is homeschooling, just so people kind of get it. Do you address the fact that some people homeschool full-time and some people part-time and some have blended kids, some are homeschooled and some aren't? Do you deal with those issues?
I do to a point. The fact is it's very state-based what you can get access to. You know, my state, it's dependent on the school district. They could tell you, no, you can't use any of our resources, and you just would have to deal with it. But I try to make it so that you can bring it all in-house, and you're not dependent on the school for even extracurriculars or special programs, because I think in today's time, we're getting forced to either be all in or be all out. It's very polarized. It's very, you have to choose what side. And it's unfortunate that children are kind of in the middle of that. So I'm trying to give parents options. So if they do say, we can't do this anymore, they can take both feet out.
All right. What about the idea that, you know, a lot of people are afraid of failure. And I don't believe most people will fail. Some people just don't believe they're up to the task. They believe I can't handle my kids all day, or they believe maybe I don't have the teaching skills. I'm not an educator or a teacher. You know, but one of the things that mom and dads learn when they have love for their children, they end up, even when they don't know something, learning right alongside them. Do you deal with the possible failures and how to make sure that it's a success?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, that's the whole approach, is kind of letting people know all the things that go through my mind still 15 years later. I look at others and wonder, are we doing enough? And so I'm very honest about the fact that you're probably going to always have that doubt. If you don't, you'd be the unicorn I've never met. But it's okay to have
I'm the unicorn. I don't have that doubt. My wife did for a little bit, but I don't. And I'll tell you why. Because some of the greatest founding fathers and some of the greatest inventors, some of the smartest people in the world, historically speaking, were all educated with very few materials and no formal education. And when they can be successful over thousands of years, so can we.
I don't disagree. And I think my kids have more confidence, which I think is really what's important. I grew up public school, so this is all very new. We're the only family in our community that homeschool currently in this small town. So we haven't seen a lot of ourselves reflected in the society around us. And I know there are people coming from that same situation, maybe even hearing from an in-law that they're going to ruin their kids. So the idea is to kind of bolster that confidence and give them some actionable tips.
Yeah, people think you're going to ruin your kids until they see your kids a few years later, and then they go, wow. I want a family
right?
like that.
It happens, definitely.
All right. We're about out of time, but I want to cover a couple of more things. Can you stay with me after the break for just 2 or 3 minutes?
Yeah, sure.
So we'll let you go at about 35, 36 after. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Lindsay Nurl. She's the mother of six. She wrote a book called HomeschoolHacksBook.com. Homeschool Hacks is the name of the book, published by Simon & Schuster, and she's been a trusted source for families since 2008. That book is available now and one of the great resources that you ought to have on your bookshelf. Not only a great read over a weekend, but a reference material as you should need it. And if people are questioning how successful you could be, that book will give you kind of a handle on the things that it takes to make it successful and jettisoning some of the, in my opinion, long-held beliefs that people may have that are incorrect. Jettisoning those beliefs is the starting to an incredible experimental journey. I say experimental because you got to play with it a little bit to find out what works. Every circumstance, every child, every parent relationship is all different on how it works. The dynamics for every family are different, and these homeschool hacks can help you, work through that in meaningful, productive, solution-oriented ways. The reason I want you to stay right after the pause is because I want to talk more about your business. So one is, you've written this incredible book, homeschoolhacksbook.com, but you've also started a business, you and your husband. Tell us a little bit more about your business and what it actually does.
Well, we do content. So I started as a writer, realized that everything's moving online. Businesses are creating more content and more content, and the trend is not slowing down. And so we realized I could work all day and all night and still not meet the demands of people wanting content. So we developed our team.
All right, hang tight. She gets it. She knows the breaks are coming, ladies and gentlemen. Lindsay, hold on. When we come back, we'll talk about content and how you guys produce content, ladies and gentlemen, because it's true. It's not slowing down, and I don't see any signs of it ever slowing down. We're talking to Lindsay Nurl, ladies and gentlemen. Her website, homeschoolhacksbook.com. Quick pause on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Top U.S. military leaders were questioned on Capitol Hill over their roles in the deadly Afghanistan withdrawal. On Tuesday, Republican Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri.
It seems to me that you put a high priority on making sure that you were favorably portrayed by the D.C. press corps. You spent a lot of time doing that. Fair enough if that's your priority. But at the same time, we had a rapidly deteriorating, frankly, disastrous situation in Afghanistan, which resulted in the death of 13 soldiers, including one from my home state. Hundreds of civilians and hundreds of Americans left behind. And in my view, that mission can't be called a success in any way, shape, or form, logistical or otherwise. General, I think you should resign. Secretary Austin, I think you should resign. I think this mission was a catastrophe. I think there's no other way to say it, and there has to be accountability. I respectfully submit it should begin with you.
The 8th Division World Champion boxing legend Manny Pacquiao is officially retiring from the sport. Manny is also a Philippine senator. USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by IBM. Spain's CaixaBank will boost its digital capabilities with IBM Cloud for Financial Services and onboard to IBM's first cloud multi-zone region in Spain. Supported by a growing ecosystem of more than 100 technology partners and fintechs, IBM Cloud for Financial Services aims to help financial institutions drive innovation while addressing risks throughout the supply chain. The new MZR is designed to help European clients deploy mission-critical workloads with high levels of security and address data sovereignty and regulatory compliance requirements. Howard Boville is head of IBM Cloud Platform.
Innovation has accelerated at an unparalleled rate as financial institutions like CaixaBank leverage hybrid cloud and AI technology to better meet client demands. As banks across the world strive to balance innovation with security and compliance, IBM Cloud for Financial Services uses built-in controls to help them protect data in the cloud.
To learn more about IBM and the global banking industry, visit www.ibm.com/banking.
Washington, D.C. continues its deadlock on the debt ceiling. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau explains.
A standoff on Capitol Hill over suspending the nation's debt limit continues. Senate Republicans blocked a measure from advancing that would suspend the limit and keep the government funded to avoid a partial shutdown. Critics of the GOP point out that Congress repeatedly raised the debt ceiling with bipartisan support. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell explains why this situation is different.
The debt ceiling that was raised before on a bipartisan basis, according to CBO, covers the debt through August. So the debt ceiling they're going to have to raise on their own is about the future.
The Kentucky Republican speaking on Capitol Hill.
NASA's Lucy asteroid probe is set to begin its 12-year space journey on 16 October. Officials say the probe will travel further from the sun than any other solar-powered spacecraft in history. USA Radio News.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Lindsay Nurl with me. We're talking about her copywriting business. Content is king in the modern era. Wow, it's not stopping anytime soon. So you guys write content for folks, and you kind of mentioned that you could write day and night and never be done, Lindsay.
Yeah. No, it's growing. And, you know, as people have to be competitive and try to reach that top page of Google and change to be accessible, there's just so many demands on companies to have their content meet standards, and so that kind of keeps us in business.
All right. What sort of writing projects will Lindsay do? She says, I've enjoyed creating just about anything that falls into the categories of online written content. Wow. Branded content, social content, blog posts, the list goes on and on. You say your most popular is pieces written on your outline. So basically articles or proper web formatting with CEO practices. I mean, it gets kind of technical. I'm an IT guy for a living, so this stuff's easy for me, but most folks are just going, what? Bottom line is she can help your business grow by providing content for your website, your social media ventures, your et cetera. We're talking about white papers. We're talking about articles. What am I leaving out, Lindsay?
I love doing profiles. So a leader will come to me and say, I need a profile for, you know, that kind of highlights my experience. I love sitting down and talking with CEOs and founders and startup disruptors and kind of getting their story. I love the story. So.
All right, there you have it. She created sponsor articles for some of the top daily newspapers. What about books? Do you help people write books?
I help people with their proposals. So if they have an idea for a book, that's something I've worked on. I don't edit, though. I do love to let my editor do the final pass.
All right, so you're a writer, not an editor, is the point.
Yeah, I have a team that helps me get second eyes on everything, and that's kind of how everyone keeps their competencies and nice flow, and, you know, you learn to major in the majors and minor in the minors.
Amen. All right, Lindsay, where do people go to learn more about your business if they have a need for some of your services?
Just lindsaynerl.com.
All right, just her name, ladies and gentlemen, Lindsay Nerl, and Nerl starts with a K, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, just want to make sure people got it. Thank you so much, Lindsay, for your time. Please keep in touch, and great work on your book.
Thank you so much for having me.
You betcha. There she goes, ladies and gentlemen, doing a great job. Her and her husband, entrepreneurs together, 6 children, homeschooling, business owners. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. What a rewarding family opportunity they've got going. What an example to the rest of us. She says, by the way, you won't see my name on everything I do. In fact, my favorite pieces take on your voice, your personality. I just provide the words, she says. So there you have it. She's involved in journals and newsletters across industries. Anyway, there you have it. Pretty cool. Pretty neat stuff. The bottom line, though, is she's busy. So you got to jump in. She says rates are quoted per project. I don't offer word or per hour rates at this time. So she just basically bids every project. And she says my written content contracts usually have some kind of promotional support, social media interactions or involvement. She says the details are created uniquely for each client. Anyway, there you have it. Pretty cool. Her phone number's on her website and everything else, lindsaynerl.com. Well, I like that. That's all right, man. Anyway, pretty neat stuff. And you look at that and you say, man, you know what? You might start your own business, ladies and gentlemen. You might not do exactly what Lindsay's doing. You might have your own talent set. Remember, it isn't about what you do, right? You might not be a talk show host like me. You might be more like Lindsay, a writer. Or you might say, you know what? I produce these awesome, whatever they are. You know, I'm a woodworker, and I produce awesome, nightstands or whatever you produce, tables. Anyway, everybody's got their own unique skill set. Bring that to the table is the point. That's why I wanted to kind of spend a little bit more time on Lindsay's personal business, in addition to the reason that we found her was about her homeschooling. I mean, I'm an avid supporter of homeschooling for sure. But then when I saw some of the other things that she does, I'm just kind of like, man, this is awesome. So anyway, check it out, homeschoolhacksbook.com or lindsaynerl.com. Great, great stuff. All right, the headline says, that's just insane. Tucker Carlson resents ADL, or the American Defamation League, response to this idea, replacement theory, I think is how you call it. Replacement theory remarks. So here's what happened. Tucker Carlson has the guts to take on things that, well, usually people like me that are not mainstream talk show hosts will take it on, no problem, because that's who we are. We don't have a boss, right? I'm an entrepreneur. I work for myself. I own my own radio network. I own my own talk show. As long as I don't cross legal barriers or any of those issues, I can say whatever the heck I want. You're not going to take me off the air because you don't like what I say. That's the way it is when you're an entrepreneur, right? That's the way it is when you own your own business. Hey, I'm my own boss and I'm not getting fired today. Thank you, right? But I bring this up because Tucker Carlson has the guts, and I don't know who's allowing him to do this, but not only does he have the guts, but so far he's got the backing of his network, which is quite shocking, in my opinion, to bring up some of these really, really critical topics, okay? So that's just insane. Tucker Carlson resents ADL, the Anti-Defamation League's response to his replacement theory remarks. Now, the Anti-Defamation League is once again calling for the ouster of Tucker Carlson following the host's recent comments on the, quote, great replacement theory. Do you know what that is? Do you know what the great replacement theory is, ladies and gentlemen? This is something really to understand. The Anti-Defamation League is once again calling for Carlson to be gone. They say he's involved in anti-Semitism and hate because of his comments. They say it cannot be overstated enough. The ADL, or Anti-Defamation League's CEO, Jonathan Greenblatt, is that how you say it? Tweeted on Friday. Yeah, they say he's using his platform as a megaphone to spread the toxic and xenophobic great replacement theory. It's repugnant and a dangerous use of power. It's racist, it's xenophobic at its roots. And anyway, it's been the inspiration for multiple shootings and mass attacks, they say. Okay. In a video posted to Fox News's YouTube account, I guess on Wednesday, Carlson says President Joe Biden aligned himself with sentiments of the, quote, great replacement theory, which Carlson explained what it is and how it works. And that's why I didn't answer what it is before, as Carlson explains it. All right. Let me kind of explain it, ladies and gentlemen. The greater replacement theory kind of says this. We don't like white America. We don't like citizens of America. They say they're doing the great replacement theory. It's in fact not a theory at all, Carlson went on. It's something that the Democrats literally brag about constantly. Okay, so he's saying, look, first of all, you need to understand on the great replacement theory, it's not a theory. The Democrats are doing this. They're bragging about it. It's really happening. You say, what's really happening, Sam? Well, there's great replacement theory, which is this. White Americans are bad. Christians are bad. Citizens of America are bad. And we are going to slowly but surely replace them, shut them down, and make them irrelevant. We're going to do that by illegal immigration. We're going to do that by promoting black and certain people to certain positions of power and authority. And we're eventually going to shut out the white Christian. We're going to replace them and shut them down. And whenever you bring this up, they say that you're racist because you got the Jewish discussion going on or the black white discussion going on. And they turn it into a racial debate. And here's the problem. They promote this, quote, replacement theory, okay? But when Carlson brings it up, they say he's the racist. So you're not allowed to bring this up or you're a racist. They claim that it's not happening, that it's not a theory, that it's not real, that it's not really going on. Tucker says, yes, it is. They brag about it all the time, and he brings it up. The Anti-Defamation League protecting the Jewish organizations are really involved in this. Now, let me step back for a minute. Because I don't want you guys to believe that I'm a white supremacist or I'm against the Jews or I'm all these different things. None of those things are the truth. Okay? So let's set aside the racially charged belligerence of this discussion and let's get to brass tacks, shall we? I am Sam Bushman. I'm willing to take on the hard topics. Can you listen long enough to give me a chance to make my point? I pray the answer is yes on your radio.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So we're talking about this Tucker Carlson fiasco where he's having a battle with the American Defamation League. Or I'm sorry, the Anti-Defamation League. One of the same, it sadly seems like, in America today. But they're talking about the Great Replacement Theory. What is that? We'll get rid of all white American citizen Christians with other people. Replace them, right? And whether you think about La Raza, the Mexicans saying, hey, everybody's going to come north of the border and take over the country that we stole from them. Whether it's, you know what, we believe that the great white is the enemy and we got to replace it and force everybody to be of mixed race and or other races. The debate becomes very, very politically charged. Why? Because it doesn't matter when you bring it up. They say you're a racist, you're a hater, you're a bigot, you're anti-Jew, you're anti-this, you're anti-that. I want to stop all that. I want to take all the race out of the discussion. Okay? I don't want to talk about Jews. I don't want to talk about blacks and whites. I don't want to talk about any of the divisions. And I don't want to talk about any of the hate. And I don't want to talk about any of the dishonesty relating to this discussion. Here's the reality that I want to focus on. Is there a theory called the Great Replacement Theory? All right? Is there one? The answer is yes. There is the Great Replacement Theory, okay? So let's not debate whether it exists or whether you agree with it or not. Let's just acknowledge that it does exist and it is a viewpoint that's out there. Okay, they say the racist Great Replacement Conspiracy Theory is, ladies and gentlemen, the Great Replacement is real. Okay, so the bottom line is they want you to believe that it doesn't even exist. But ladies and gentlemen, let's be honest. When you have a situation in America where you are bringing in illegal aliens to the tunes of thousands every year. Some say tens of thousands, some say even millions. And when you have in the United States right now, what? How many thousand, how many million illegals from different nations? All right. When you have that being promoted and pressed to the degree that it is, and you have it affecting our voter registration records, and when you have the former president of the United States, Barack Obama, saying, if you vote, you are a citizen. So there's no, you got to be a citizen to vote. His point is, if you vote, you're then a citizen. You're affecting the outcomes. All right. It's not debatable if we're talking about a replacement, the Great Replacement. It's not a theory. It's a reality. When La Raza from the Mexican groups literally put their flag above the United States flag and literally say in the La Raza agenda, hey, we believe the United States has stole Mexican land and we intend to get it back. Right? We're not talking about a theory anymore. We're talking about a belief of some. Right? Okay? So you got to look at this and go, it's not a debate on whether it exists or not. Some people believe in this viewpoint. And the problem is when those of us who say we don't want this great replacement happening and that it is happening, then they say you're involved in a conspiracy. So now not only do I want to take race out of the discussion, I want to take conspiracy out of the discussion. The fact is some people believe that you got to replace the white Christian, primarily male or family, all right, with others. All right. Now, I bring this up because I don't want to debate if it exists or not. I don't want to debate if Tucker Carlson's a racist or not. I don't want to debate whether the Democrats say that it doesn't exist or not or whatever. I just merely want to say this. When we have illegal immigration to the tune of literally, 15,000 plus Haitian immigrants were primarily released in the United States, one out of five has a serious illness. It isn't a theory anymore, folks. It isn't a racist discussion anymore, folks. We are all God's children and we need to behave like it. But it is a matter of the rule of law and it is a matter of safety for the American citizen. And whether they're replacing us for this reason or that reason or whatever else is the debate, for sure. But what I want to say about it is this. Can we take out all the politically charged positions? So blacks hate whites, whites hate blacks, everybody hates the Jews, lies. And can we have an honest discussion? And what can we do to have an open, honest discussion about this? Okay? And what I mean by that is don't wrap it up into one theory about great replacement theory, because now we're talking about all kinds of nebulous terms, conspiracy, theory. Well, that means it's not really a fact. It's just a viewpoint. Is it really existing? Does it exist? We're not even in the realm of a real brass tacks discussion at that point. What we're into is politically charged, never agreeing on anything, divisive, hate-filled vitriol. And what I want to do is talk about each element of this. Do we have illegal immigration going on that over time will change America? The answer is clearly yes. Can we accept no borders in America? No. Even Barack Obama is now saying we've got to change our immigration policies. The border is becoming a crisis. Even Barack Obama is blatantly admitting this right now. Okay. So if me and Barack Obama say we got a big problem right now, I don't agree with Barack on anything. He's black, I'm white. There's so many divisions there. It's not even funny. But we agree that some things have to change. So why don't we break down the components of this and discuss each one on its own merits? When they talk about, hey, if police quit, we'll replace the police officers with non-citizen immigrants. If the healthcare workers bail from their jobs because they don't want to get vaccinated, don't worry. We can hire people from outside the country. Let's talk about each of those questions one at a time. Right? Think about that for a minute. Can we discuss each individual issue, the illegality of immigration? Can we then shut the illegal door big time and stop our borders from being abused, but increase people who are immigrants who would like a better life to come to America? Sure, we can. There's ways to do that. Is there ways to take race out of this politically charged discussion? Absolutely. Are there ways to single out each issue one at a time and deal with them? Absolutely. And that's what I think we really need to focus on. And that's why I'm bringing this up. Okay, this is not about how to just have these nebulous terms that nobody can understand, but yet everybody takes hardcore, unrelenting, divisive positions on. We need to really double down, okay? So you know what? I appreciate Tucker Carlson for bringing it up. All right. Tucker Carlson resents ADL's comments on his replacement theory remarks. All right. But I appreciate Tucker for bringing it up because I don't want to get into conspiracy theories. I don't want to get into these nebulous arguments. I want to discuss each issue one at a time. So if we talk about the great replacement, quote, theory, or the great replacement, which piece of it do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about illegal immigration? Do you want to talk about the hate-filled viewpoints of some, whether they be promoting of illegal immigration or promoting of the replacement or anti-the replacement? See, the politically charged part is you're not even allowed to even bring it up that it even exists, or you're hated and ridiculed and mocked. Why are they attacking Tucker for bringing it up? Why would the Anti-Defamation League be so critical of this? Can't we talk about it without calling Tucker a white supremacist? Can't we talk about illegal immigration? Can't we talk about replacement? See, I personally believe that every race, right, every ethnicity, every race, whatever terms you want to use, right, should want to bring children to the earth. That's God's plan, right? Multiply and replenish the earth, God said. He didn't say if you're a non-Jew. He didn't say if you're black and not white, or if you're white and not black. He didn't do any of those things. God Almighty said to his children, and that's all ethnicities, all races, he said, listen, multiply and replenish the earth. And in other portions of the Bible, he says there's plenty and room to spare. So God's plan is to people the earth. God's plan is the family. Why don't we focus on those ideas to say, how can we create a better life for all the peoples of the world, whether they're part of the United States or not, whether they want to come to the United States or not? How can we support every ethnicity, every race, in saying you have a godly heritage? You're a child of God. Your Father in heaven loves you. The Bible says we are the offspring of God. So we are his children. Can't we just set aside racial divisions? Can't we set aside replacement theory divisions? Can't we set aside conspiracy divisions and theory divisions? And can't we just say, let's deal with the issues? Look, we'd love people to come to America, but we got to make sure the right people come that truly are willing to obey our laws, willing to embrace our society and our culture, willing to understand the great genius of the checks and balances based on the proper rule of government. And we need to welcome those people. We need to stop the criminals. We need to stop those who would like to exploit our system. Can't we set aside all these politically charged divisions and work towards a goal to improve life for everybody? I want to make America great again. I want to put America first. But I also want to help Mexico be great. And I want Mexico for the Mexicans to be first. And I want, okay, across the world, I want to improve life and improve society and improve safety and security and health and prosperity for all the peoples of the world. All religions. Yeah. All ethnicities. Yeah. All male and female, whether you agree or disagree, whether I agree or disagree with your positions on topics, I hope we can somehow improve your life. I somehow hope we can protect you and make your prosperity and your safety and your stability better. I want to do that for everybody, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, whether it's conservatives or liberals, whether whatever divide point they want to find, I hope we can erase those divisions. And so I'm sad that they attacked Tucker Carlson. I may or may not agree with Tucker's views, but I appreciate him bringing up the discussion. And I would like to jettison the nebulous, confusing positions people take. And I would like to replace it with real, meaningful discussions with an eye on solutions. Is that crazy? Does that make me a racist? Does that make me a xenophobe, a homophobe, a hate-filled, angry, white, male American? Or does that make me a follower of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace? I pray the latter. Thanks for being with me. Hopefully it was educational. I don't know that this topic is entertaining, but hopefully we can really make a difference in the public arena to bring all of us together in meaningful, solution-oriented ways. I am Sam Bushman. My website's libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. I declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.